This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by Shelby McLeod. Now, thanks for taking time to meet with us. I know it's a fairly busy time for you.
Glad to be here.
Awesome. Just to jump into it, if you just tell us a bit about yourself and why you decided to run for council.
Well, I've been involved in the political process for like 25 plus years. I used to work for John Gogo and Clint Dunford. I did 10 years at the Alberta Legislature as his chief of staff executive assistant and quite familiar with legislation and process. And people actually asked me to run for MLA, but because I had spent 10 years at the legislature, I knew that road up and down that highway is grinding. So I opted not to do that. And I had family members who were poorly, and so I took care of my niece while she was dealing with her cancer until she passed, and my brother-in-law and mother-in-law with Alzheimer's. So then I come to a junction in my life, and I think, you know, people had been bugging me to run for city council, and I thought, you know what? If not now, when? So here I am.
Awesome.
Perfect.
So what do you think Lethbridge's 2 or 3 most pressing issues are at right now, and what sort of attention would you like to give them if you were elected?
Well, as I see it, we have a bit of an inner city indigent population issue. We don't have enough housing, low-cost housing, for the folks who need housing. So to me, we can talk about roads, highways, conference centers, performing arts centers, but we have to take care of our people. So the quality of life in Lethbridge, to me, is number one. And housing for folks, whatever strata that they are. But the low end of the housing unit, that's where we're really lacking. Castle Apartments is a prime example. I sit on the CMHA board, and with CMHA and Lethbridge Housing, we took that over, and we've turned it into a really decent place to live. At one time, the police were there every day, and in the last 2 years, they've been there twice. So one was a fatality, a heart attack, and the other one was a domestic. So people need a home. They need a place they can go in, close the door, lay down, have a sleep, and when they're turned out of this, out of the shelter, they have no place to go. They go to the library in the summer to stay cool, in the winter to stay warm. And right now, CMHA is partnering with the public library, and we have a social worker in there to take the pressure off the librarians and the workers in the library, because some of these people have complex needs and they need support. But first of all, we have to get them to the point where they'll accept support.
Absolutely.
For sure. So the podcast Cam and I do, usually we focus on the arts in the community. We talk about arts across Canada and within Lethbridge, and we know we're pretty invested in the fine arts facility. Is this something that you support being built in the city?
I do support a new performing arts center, but because I'm not a spring chicken, I believe that we need to build it at a critical point where it's beyond for the future. It's what we don't have now, but will go forward into the future and be expandable. The current council is talking $75 million. Former Art Ferrari, before he passed away, he made a wonderful presentation at the Yates, and he did have a Cadillac, and then he had a scaled-down version. So because I've been away from it for so long, I think we need to look at what does the community want to pay for, and what do they need, and what is lacking right now, and then we have to think 10, 15, 20 years forward, because the Yates Center, it's a wonderful facility, but it's smaller, and it only has the capacity to do what it can do, and so I think we have to go, I would like to say, a step above what the Yates offers. And especially with the renovation, that's quite a bit of money that we've put into it as a community. So we have to think long and hard, what is it that we want and where will it be? And again, I am going to say, You can build it, but if you don't have parking, they will only come once.
Right.
Yeah, that's a very fair statement. Absolutely. Now, you did talk about the financial and fiscal responsibility of building something like this.
Right.
Now, between now and 2021, the CIP set aside about $7 million for the design and planning process for the fine arts facility. But come 2021, the city gets about $21 million from the province through the Municipality Sustainability Initiative. However, it expires in 2021. So I'm just curious, like, is this a project that we should be moving forward on right now, or how do you see us moving forward and being able to pay for this facility should the funding not be as readily available as we thought?
Well, I believe in philanthropy, and I believe that we have enough philanthropists in Lethbridge and area that are patrons of the art, and I have a small endowment that I give out in the mental health circles to young people. I think that if we as a community really want this, we need to pool our resources, and that means, you know, start an endowment for the new facility, whatever we want to call it, a state-of-the-art performing arts center, and amass the money. Government cannot do all things for a community, and we don't know what lies ahead in the shrinking economy as we hear the doom and gloomers say, and so I think we need to start planning November 1st about how, as a community, how we can fund this project as most efficiently as possible.
All right. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of art acquisition for the city, Lethbridge currently has 1% of the community CIP invested in the public art acquisition, so it can vary from year to year. Do you think this is an adequate way to do the funding to procure art for the city, or should there be some sort of other method or monetary device to do that?
Now, I'm going to say something that'll probably make people's hair go crazy and all get all out of shape, but public art, there's a part of me that's not convinced that it's money well spent. Mm-hmm. I believe that if we, as a community, want a facility, maybe we should plan to put that money into the public art within the facility. Mm-hmm. Because we're a winter climate, mm-hmm. and public art sometimes is only able to be enjoyed in the summer and the shoulder season. And so, again, maybe how we manage our public art fund, maybe it needs to have a look at.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. So the another piece of there was a piece of public art that was procured this year as part of the Canada 150 celebrations, and it was a gift from the our sister city in Quebec, and we sent them one, and we received one from them, and there was a lot of controversy about the price of that. And maintaining the formal relationship with the city also costs the city quite a bit of money every year. Is this a program that you're in favor of, or is this something that you would like to see pushed aside to, say, a nonprofit organization or a volunteer group?
It's a really difficult question because relationship building and sister cities, they have their place and they have their merits. So I know there was controversy about where the art was purchased from. Mm-hmm. A couple of folks said to me that they felt that it should have been a Lethbridge artist. And again, because I'm not on the committee and I didn't have any input, I listened to their conversation and I thought, you know, we do have great artists in Southern Alberta, maybe not right in Lethbridge, but perhaps that would be more meaningful to the sister city. Again, I'd have to look really closely at it to make a better determination. But again, relationship building, I don't know how you ever measure that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. cool. So I think that does it for the arts questions that we have. But we do have a few other issues that we've noticed have come up a few times, or actually haven't come up in the case of this next question here, that we're just curious as how you feel about it. So the federal government is moving forward with the legalization of marijuana by, they're thinking, July 1st, 2018, and the provincial government has just released a framework for legislation to purchase, possess, and use cannabis in Alberta. What role do you see our next city council taking in ensuring safe implementation of these new laws and regulations in our city?
Well, actually, to me, it falls underneath the police commission, because our first responders and our police commission are the ones who are tasked with enforcing. We can support with bylaws and maybe zoning rules. Again, legalization of marijuana, it's here. We have to deal with it. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not a marijuana user myself. I think that those people who want the product, it's kind of like a liquor store. I think that we need to have safe, secure products that these people are going to use, because when you go to a liquor store, you know exactly what percent by volume of alcohol you're getting, and there's a price competitive a wee bit, but you know what you're going to get. It's not off the street doctored with something else that's going to be far more harmful to you than the actual marijuana.
Yeah, for sure. So you think that our city's role is going to be through the zoning and just creating safer spaces for people to use it? Because I know that one of the big concerns that came out of it is that you will be able to use it outdoors in the specific areas. But the province, the Minister of Justice was saying how she thinks that it's up to the cities to really say where those spaces are.
Well, people are using it already. And I'm 66 years old, and in my peer group, I see people utilize it. Now, they're doing it illegally right now, so whether they'll be more feeling better about themselves, where they do it or how they do it, I don't have an answer for that. But I think our police force is pretty clever. I think that they'll be able to manage the irresponsible user. I think the responsible person that has a little bit of marijuana in their home, I hate to see somebody become a criminal for something as, and I don't want to say simplistic as a joint in their purse or a joint in their ashtray, but marijuana has been around for a very long time, and I think that we have to have rules and we have to have law, but we also have to realize that this is 2017 and people are going to do what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
So you spoke about having the safe space for when this sort of thing becomes legal. I know the reason we kind of got started with doing these interviews with candidates was just out of a conversation we were having with a fellow candidate of yours who was very opposed to the idea of a safe injection site in Lethbridge. Is this something you're a supporter of, or?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am. Mm-hmm. I am. Arches are the people who are taking on the I don't want to say administration, but the support task mm-hmm. for opioid users and our homeless folks who need support. They happen to be close to my daughter's house. Mm-hmm. There's more complex people coming into the neighborhood. I know the women, single older women, are nervous and a little fearful of when they see people in the neighborhood that they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. And Arches, through the support and education, they say that they've helped people step away from the opioid use. So I think it's important that we do have a safe place, because, I'm not an opioid user, and there's part of me that doesn't understand opioid use, but if someone's going to buy something off the street, you want to hope that it's not doctored, it's not tainted, and if they do shoot up or smoke or do whatever they do with their product, that there's someone there to prevent an unfortunate situation, either a death or a very expensive side effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to hear. And I think we've heard from quite a few other candidates who have been supporters of the project. So I'm hoping that should the person we were speaking to who's opposed does get elected for whatever reason, that the other voices will keep that opinion down.
Go democracy.
Well, and the other thing is, sometimes when people see the facts, like a fellow did die around the corner from my daughter's house,
mm-hmm.
and whether he died before he went into Arches or died. We don't know that answer.
Yeah.
But it was disturbing to the neighborhood. So, you know, again, people do what they do because they do it, and we try to avoid them going down a bad path, but we have to try to steer them in the right direction or support them so that our emergency responders aren't tasked with having to deal with them, you know, in volume.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's all the questions we have for you, Shay. Is there anything that you feel that we didn't touch on that you would like to talk about quickly?
No, I have a very strong social policy background, and I believe that, you know, we have economic development and we have, you know, roads and highways and commerce and trade and all those wonderful things that make our community wealthy, but we still have to take care of the vulnerable. The shelter really needs attention. The soup kitchen needs attention because I think they could be a big collaborative, much bigger, a kinder facility so that, you know, the person, if they have no place to go, they could sit somewhere and have a coffee or stay behind and not have to go loiter somewhere. So I think that's where single moms, they need support. Where's the single dad that helped the single mom become a single mom? I'm big on that social policy as well, because parents need to be parents. And supporting your children is the number one task anyone has in this earth. Is if you have a child, it's your responsibility to support that child. So, and again, that's about supporting other humans, whether through no fault of their own. They've had a bad go and they've fallen through the cracks. And so that's what I really think that as a society we need to support people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
And, oh, you're quite welcome.
We'd like to wish you all the best in your in a campaign for the final days here.
I hope so.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that's Shelby McLeod. She definitely comes with a lot of experience in the legislative branch of government. So that's
for sure.
It'd be interesting to see what she would bring to council.
Yeah, for sure. I'll wish her the best of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. All right. Well, you've been listening to Sightlines.
Thank you for listening to Sightline's special electoral report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.